Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this beautiful Sabbath, September 20th, 2025. This is our review of our chapter 87 entitled To My Father and Your Father of our lesson 443. I hope everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother once more to bless us with the Tiny Tot song of the theme entitled Perfect Peace. Peace, Perfect Peace, hymn 463.
Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask one of the little ones, by the help of parents or elder siblings, to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please repeat the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I labor and do all my work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please repeat the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's not in the Sabbath. Repeat the people that's joining the Sabbath. And please protect the little what new things that we're about to learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, little one. So now we are going to hear all the blessings that the little one has been in the household or any endeavor, school, or whatever area in their life. If you would like to share their ones, maybe unmute your mic.
Fellow blessings, everyone. For this edition of Mommy's and Daddy's Little Helpers, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma with the focus on giving thanks. Haley yesterday received an award at school for kindness, and it just goes to show that by the grace of God that it's not just in the home, but in the school environment as well, that she's able to show and be kind to others. And so I want to praise the Lord for that. And I pray that she continues to be kind to each and every one that she comes across with. And may they be blessed and know that it is not her kindness, but it's the kindness of God, and she's letting her light shine to his honor and to his glory. So I wanted to share that and praise the Lord for that as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there any remnant family that would like to share the blessings the little one has been in their lives or any endeavors that they have, school and abroad? You may do so by unmuting your mic. We are going to proceed. Welcome to all the precious little ones. and the parents. It is time for our precious tiny thoughts to learn precious lessons. So let's have a listening ear, for we are going to share the last part of our chapter 27 entitled, Go Tell My Disciple. And we're going to pass it to our dear brother for our review.
All right. Good morning. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John this time, chapter 20, verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. And verse 14 says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her in verse 15, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, who else would be there at that time of day, said unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Next slide. She thought that if this rich man's tomb was considered too honorable a place for her Lord, she herself would provide a place for him. The tomb that her brother was laid in. But now the voice of Christ himself fell on her ears. He said, Mary, in the voice she was used to hearing. Her tears were quickly brushed away, and she beheld the Savior, forgetting in her joy that he had been crucified. She stretched forth her hands to him, saying, Rabboni, Master. Jesus then said, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and tell them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. John 20, 15 to 17. Next slide, please. Jesus refused to receive the homage of his people until he should know that his sacrifice had been accepted by the Father. He ascended to the heavenly courts, and from God himself heard the assurance that his atonement for the sins of men had been ample, and through his blood all might gain eternal life. Trouble is, all don't want it. All power in heaven and earth is given to the Prince of Life, and he returned to his followers in a world of sin, that he might impart to them his power and glory. Story of Redemption, pages 160.
Amen. So next Sabbath, we will begin a new chapter, and that is chapter 28 in our lesson entitled Witness. In our tiny talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place, dear one, September 27, 2025. And I will hand it back to our dear brother for the review.
All right. What did Mary think of doing if the rich man's tomb was too honorable?
The answer to number one is she herself would provide a place for him.
Where would that be?
Her brother's tomb.
The tomb that her brother was put in, and Jesus raised him to life, emptying the tomb. What did she say when she learned it was Jesus speaking to her?
Rabboni, which means answer, master.
Yes. Rabboni. That we don't really understand that word, but it has to do with an endearing term for rabbi or teacher or master. What did Jesus refuse to receive?
The homage of his people.
The homage of his people, yes. This is one of those words that has an H in front of it that's not pronounced. Homage. Okay, and our bonus question, how did our Savior's atonement for the sins of men, how did our Savior's atonement for the sins of men, that doesn't sound right, had been ample? How do we know that it was ample?
The answer to the bonus question is that through his blood, all might gain eternal life.
Amen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for participating. Back to you, Rose.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, little ones. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is time for a tiny tap and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. But this is our review from our topic of the Bible, mammals. And this will be shared by our dear brother Josh. So let's have a listening ears, little one.
God blesses everyone. Here's today's lesson review. It's taken from the book FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 8, Jesus Heals. We'll be learning about the insights of the nature lesson book before the lesson came about. First, we start from Matthew chapter 9, verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. In Mark chapter 5, verses 30 to 34 reads, "And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said to him, 'Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. He said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole thy place.'" We've seen the spiritual insight from before lesson 3, a bat's head and wings. And the memory verse is 2 Corinthians 7:1, which says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Character quality of the story, hopefulness versus desperation or hopelessness. Hopefulness is a desire of some good accompanied with expectation of obtaining it, or belief that it is obtainable. Hope always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish or desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. A grateful heart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:7. With a grateful heart, she then cried to withdraw from the crowd, but suddenly Jesus stopped, and the people halted with him. He turned, and looking about, asked in a voice distinctly heard above the confusion of the multitude, "Who touched me?" The people answered this query with a look of amazement. Jostled upon all sides and really pressed hither and thither as he was, it seemed a strange inquiry. Peter, ever ready to speak, said, "Master, the multitude throng and thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus answered, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." The Savior could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless throng. Such trust should not be passed without comment. He would speak to the humble woman words of comfort that would be to her a wellspring of joy, words that would be a blessing to his followers through a close of time. We can have hope because Jesus is still as powerful and as sympathetic now as he was at the time this Bible story took place. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Psalm 33:18. Looking towards the woman, Jesus insisted on knowing who had touched him. Finding concealment vain, she came forward tremblingly and cast herself up at his feet. With grateful tears, she told the story of her suffering, how she had found relief. Jesus gently said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." He gave no opportunity for superstition to claim healing virtue for the mere act of touching his garments. It was not through the outward contact with him, but through the faith which took hold on his divine power that the cure was wrought. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance. In Psalm 12:11. After healing the woman, Jesus desired her to acknowledge the blessing she'd received. The gifts which the gospel offers are not to be secured by stealth or enjoyed in secret. So the Lord calls upon us for confession of his goodness. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Isaiah 43:12. The desire of ages, page 344, 347. The woman's hopes and desires had been fulfilled. Jesus gave her an opportunity to share her story, and now we can learn about it. Through this story, Jesus wants us to gain everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. 2 Thessalonians 2:16. It says here that the Hawaiian hoary bat is the only extant bat and native terrestrial mammal found in Hawaii. Like many species of bat, Hawaiian hoary bats are brown in color. However, they are distinguished by a silver tint along the brown fur of their backs. More pronounced silver bands are found along the neck as the fur transitions to a yellowish brown along the face. The ears retain a black edging around their perimeter. The common name of hoary bats is inspired by the hoary or frosty, the coloration of their coats. Females of this species are larger than males. These bats are native to the islands of Hawaii. They are found in landscapes including human populated areas, forests, agricultural fields, pastures, and even near mountain summits. During the warmer months, bats will travel to lowland environments where they will be more active. During the colder months, Hawaiian hoary bats travel to highland environments where they are not as active. The habits and lifestyle. Hawaiian hoary bats are solitary and prefer to roost individually rather than in colonies. They are nocturnal hunters, usually hunting for food just before sunset and returning to their nest just before sunrise. Like other bats, they capture and eat their prey while still in flight. Bats do not have keen eyesight to spot their prey, rather they use echolocation. By foraging using echolocation, bats can catch their target while in flight. The bat's flight patterns differ according to the environment they are hunting in and the prey they are hunting. When hunting in open environments, i.e. pastures or above the canopy, where larger prey is more abundant, they will fly faster with less maneuverability. When hunting in enclosed environments, i.e. clustered forests, where smaller prey is more abundant, they will fly slower to allow for more maneuverability to catch their elusive prey. While foraging, Hawaiian hoary bats can travel up to 19 kilometers or 12 miles on that information from animalia.bio/Hawaiian hoary bat. And next we have also from that website a diagram of the bat's body. Here's the Hawaiian hoary bat's name, and its scientific name is Lasiurus lasimodus. They have a wingspan of about 10.5 to 13.5 inches wide. Their ears are short and round-edged, rounded with black edge. Here is one of their thumbs on both wings. They weigh approximately 1/2 ounce. They have hairless, leathery wings with bony fingers. They have sharp, small sharp teeth. They have tiny clawed feet for grasping as they roost. Their fur is light brown on the back with white tips, giving them a frosty or hoary look, hence their name. And the flap of skin between their legs and tail, called the interfemoral membrane or uropatagium. Here we have a picture of a leaf-nosed bat. Why are these bats called leaf-nosed bats? And the answer is because of the shape of their nose. I'll take them from all info taken from kidadl.com/facts/animalnature/leaf-nosed-bat-facts. And in this next part we read leaf-nosed bat interesting facts. The leaf-nosed bat, whose scientific name is Philostomidae. The New World leaf-nosed bat is endothermically a mammal and bilaterally symmetrical. This bat species has a high wing load and low wing aspect ratio, and this allows them to hover to feed on fruits, pollen, and insects. These species of bats are active at night. Philostomidae roost in caves, drain pipes, buildings, and other vegetation. Duroderma, a genus leaf-nosed bats, use broad leaves to make tents for roosting by chewing the midrib of the leaf to a tent, and small groups of bats roost under it. Almost all the philostomids do not exhibit reduced body temperature, except in Heller's broad-nosed bats, Powell's long-tongued bats, and Siva's short-tailed bats, extravasation is possible. Desmodus species displays aggressive behavior, food sharing, and reciprocity. This family of the New World leaf-nosed bat occupies a wide range of habitats across forests and deserts. The leaf-nosed bat habitat includes temperate, tropical, forests, deserts, caves, and buildings. They also prefer a habitat with dense rainforests and high elevation. Here in this diagram of the leaf-nosed bat, we see the thicker forearms and tiny thumbs make up the top of the wings, and the fingers create the wingtips. The large ears help bats to hear even faint sounds, plus the echolocation they make. Some bats see quite well, contrary to the blindness of batness. Some bats have flaps or bumps of skin on their faces called nose leaves. The powerful muscles in a bat's fur-covered body flap the wings. The bones of a bat's arms and hands create a frame for its skin-covered wings, and its bat's legs are adapted for standing, so they hang upside down by their feet instead of perching like birds. And we see below that picture on the top right corner, it reads, this small grayish-brown flying mammal feeds on insects and plant matter. It lives in such dark locations, such as abandoned mine tunnels. What can you learn from the nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. More of these photos that are taken from me. This is... It wasn't ready. It says here below, this Brooklyn Zoo, or version of it, has been around since 1890 when the menagerie opened in Prospect Park. It wasn't until 1935 when the current zoo replaced it as a part of the revitalization program of city parks by Robert Moses. This Brooklyn Zoo has been open since, with the expectation of a 5-year period starting in 1988 for reconstruction and updating facilities. information from yourbrooklynguide.com/Prospect Park Zoo. Here's part two of my experience at the Prospect Park. Over here we have information about the eastern box turtle. The eastern box turtle, whose scientific name is Therapine carolina, also known as the land turtle, is a type of turtle with special hinge shell. It's a subspecies of a common box turtle, whose scientific name is Therapine carolina. These turtles are native to the eastern part of the United States. Eastern box turtles have a high dome-shaped top up shell called a carapace. They also have a hinged bottom shell called a plastron. This hinge lets them close their shell completely like a box. These turtles stay fairly small, usually 4.5 to 6 inches long. Some can grow over 7 inches in captivity. They can live for more than 100 years. However, in the wild, they often live shorter lives because of the diseases and predators. Next, we have the snake-neck turtle. The snake-neck turtle's scientific name is Calodina, often called snake-neck turtles. Is a large group of turtles with very long necks. They are part of the Calidae family. These unique turtles live in Australia, New Guinea, Rhode Island, in Indonesia, and East Timor. Snake-neck turtles are known for how they protect themselves. Instead of pulling their head straight back in their shell like many turtles, they tuck their long neck to the side of their body. Their shells are usually oval-shaped and can be small to medium in size. This group includes many of the well-known snake-neck turtles. They are typically small to medium size and have oval bellies. They're typically small to medium size and have oval shells. All info taken from kids.kittle.co/eastern boxing turtle and Calodina. Next, we have the common green iguana, mistook as the Mexican iguana. Anyway, the common green iguanas have a wide distribution throughout Central and South America. They're one of the largest lizards in America, and certainly one of the most beautiful. Isabella and Olive, which are each about 6 years old, are Prospect Park Zoo's original pair of iguanas. They live in the Animal Lifestyle Building. Olive's new career has shifted to the education department, where she plays an interpretive role in the animal encounters and school programs. Isabella was left to share her exhibit with a red-footed tortoise roommate until Ferdinand, a handsome 2-year-old iguana, was obtained this year and introduced to Isabella. And just to round out the Central American theme, a boa constrictor was added to the group. Like all iguanas, Ferdinand and Isabella have strong jaws and long tails are nearly half the length of their body. These tails are used to ward off predators. The iguanas spend most of their time in the rainforest canopy, and zoo visitors will see both of them resting on vines at the top of the exhibit most of the time. Iguanas are herbivores, and a special treat for them is flowers, especially the giant red hibiscus that decorate the zoo's discovery trail. Nature, or what is a reptile? A reptile is an animal that has dry, scaly skin and lungs to breathe with. The scales of reptiles do a good job of keeping in body moisture, so reptiles can live in dry places. This reminds us of the scaly skin of leprosy. There are about 6,000 kinds of reptiles. Examples of reptiles are alligators, crocodiles, lizards, like our iguanas here, snakes, turtles, both, like the ones we saw previously, and the Tuatera. We will end my experience review from here. So we're continuing more information concerning with the turtles, particularly the box turtle. which I eventually learned earned me a mistake, was actually the red slider. Anyway, the common box turtle is about the size of a quarter when it hatches. After it has dug itself outside, dug itself out, it hides for a few days, living on the egg yolks attached to the underside of its shell. When the yolk is gone, it searches for food. It takes 5 or 6 years for the turtle shell to harden enough so that it does not have to hide most of the time. Then, with a reliable suit of armor, it can roam about freely. Its lifestyle can remind us of the protection that is needed mentally and spiritually for the little ones. Just as the young turtles have to hide until their shield of armor hardens, so mothers are told concerning their young ones, heal them as faithful mothers should from becoming contaminated by associating with every young companion. Palgrinds, page 160. The lessons that the child learns during the first 7 years of life have more to do with forming his character than all that it learns in future years. Child Guidance, page 193. Turtles live a very long time. They live longer than any other animal, one kind living as long as 200 years or more. Turtles do most of their growing during the 5 to 10 years. They'll continue to grow, but much slower. Most turtles will eat both animals and plants. A few turtles, like the green turtles and tortoises, eat only green plants. The mass turtle, a freshwater kind, eats only animals. The food of the turtle can remind us of the wonderful feast that God is preparing for the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can have a taste of this feast today if we deny self and spend time eating his word. Other turtles live in very warm climates, survive the extreme heat and dry periods by estivating, which is somewhat like hibernation. The heat of trials can seem too much for us sometimes, but Jesus is always inviting us to estivate or rest in him. Continuing with my picture of the Australian emu, the only emu species left that is left in the world. Anyway. The emu, known scientifically as Dromaeus nivehollandiae, is a very large flightless bird. It lives naturally in Australia. The emu is the tallest bird in Australia. It's also the second tallest bird in the world, right after its relative, the ostrich. Emus are also related to the cassowary, which is a bit smaller, but heavier. The emu is the second tallest bird in the world. Only the ostrich is taller. Large emus can stand up to 150 to 190 centimeters, or 59 to 75 inches tall. From beak to tail, emus are usually 139 to 164 centimeters, or 55 to 65 inches long. Males average 148.5 centimeters, or 58.5 inches, and females average 156.8 centimeters, or 61.7 inches. Emus weigh between 18 and 60 kilograms, or 40 to 132 pounds. Females are often a bit larger and wider than males. And then we have the mallard duck. The mallard, whose scientific name is Anas pylorhynchos, is a very well-known duck. You can find it in many parts of the world, including North America, Europe, Asia, New Zealand, and even Australia. But it's the most common duck around. Mallards live almost anywhere there is water, like wetlands, even in city areas. They are medium-sized waterfowl. They are usually 50 to 65 centimeters, or 20 to 26 inches long. Their wings can spread out to 81 to 98 centimeters, or 32 to 39 inches. A mallard typically weighs between 0.72 and 1.58 kilograms, or 1.6 and 3.5 pounds. Both male and female mallards have special shiny purple-blue feathers on their wings. These are called speculum feathers and have white edges. You can see them when the duck flies or rests. They lose these feathers temporarily during their summer molt. Information on kids.kill.co/emailing. That'll work.
Sorry, dear ones, my computer.
It ends. Next, we found the two. Next, we have these two birds, which I mistook as two toucans, but they turn out actually to be the von der Decken's hornbill. So this is their original names. At WCS's Prospect Park Zoo, which I visited, you may notice that our pair of von der Decken's hornbills, whose scientific name is Tachus dinkini, and you share an exhibit with a group of dwarf mongoose. In the wild of South Africa, these animals have a mutually symbiotic relationship. Each species enables the other to have an advantage in survival. When the mongooses forage on and in the ground, they send insects and other small animals to the surface, and the hornbills can snack on. Hornbills, in return, are perched high in trees and shrubs, which gives the mongooses an additional alert system for oncoming danger. Since our exhibit at Prospect Park Zoo doesn't contain any natural bugs or hornbills to snack on, we animal keepers have an opportunity to improve our aim with an enriching bug toss. The toss provides a fun activity for our animals and builds bonds with keepers. This type of husbandry activity allows us to get closer to some of our animals so that veterinary checks and regular work, like cleaning, are less stressful and even enjoyable for the animals. When I enter the exhibit, our hornbills greet me with expectant attention, though the tree is on its way. That note has been written by one of the zookeepers that work there. And it's info from prospectparkzoo.com/blogs.wcs.org/photo/May 5th, 2019, building bonds on von der Decken's hornbill mongoose, and you let my experience review. Our reference reading of our lesson, Mammals of the Bible, review taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, Chapter 36, The Touch of Faith, Part 3. With a grateful heart, she then tried to withdraw from the crowd, but suddenly Jesus stopped, and the people halted with him. He turned and, looking about, asked in a voice distinctly heard above the confusion of the multitude, "Who touched me?" The people answered this query with a look of amazement, docile upon all sides, and rudely pressed hither and thither as he was. It seemed a strange inquiry. Peter, ever ready to speak, said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus answered, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." The Savior could distinguish the touch of faith from the casual contact of the careless throng. Such trust should not be passed without comment. He would speak to the humble woman words of comfort that would be for her a wellspring of joy, words that would be a blessing to his followers to the close of time. Looking toward the woman, Jesus insisted on knowing who had touched him. Finding concealment vain, she came forward tremblingly and cast herself at his feet. With grateful tears, she told the story of her suffering and how she had found relief. Jesus gently said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." He gave no opportunity for superstition to claim human virtue for the mere act of touching his garments. It was not through the outward contact with him, but through the faith which took him hold on his divine power that the cure was wrought. Desire of Ages, page 244, paragraphs 1, 2, and 3. Our three bonus questions this review, you'll find the answers in both the study book and in the Bible itself. One is, what question did Jesus ask? You find the answer in Mark 5:30. Two, how did the disciples respond? The answer is in Mark 5:31. And three, describe what happened next. The answer is in Mark 5:32 to 34. And I will give the mic back to Mario. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much, dear brethren. I apologize. My computer is been updating and it's going pretty fast, so forgive me. And remember, little one, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus, we know and He is all. Doubt grow.
Amen.
Welcome to all the precious family that are in the room. For those that are listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Nearer, Still Nearer. You can find it in the hymn book. It's number 659. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Dry me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Hold me, oh, hold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in thy heaven of rest. Shelter me safe in thy heaven of rest.
Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart.
Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified.
Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to Thee. Nearer my Savior, still nearer to Thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to ask the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our family review study. If anyone of the dear running family would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Our blessings, everybody. Thank you for putting us up for this morning. And please protect us as we're going to be going through the Sabbath words. Please protect us as we're going to be learning new words. Please protect us as we're going to be going through the Sabbath. Please protect everybody just here, people who are not here, people who couldn't make it, people who could make it. Please protect everybody that I know. Jesus, take my fight, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singer in the section Pillars of Our Faith of the Memory Verse CD. It's taken from Matthew 24, verse 14.
This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Matthew 24. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have from this week, dear ones? Before we hear all the comments or answer to the questions, we're going to take a few minutes to reread part one of our new chapter, entitled To My Father and Your Father, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are in The Desire of Ages. Page 800. Go ahead, dear sister.
Thank you. There were The Desire of Ages, page 9, page 829. The time had come for Christ to ascend his Father's throne, to his Father's throne as a divine conqueror. He was about to return with the trophies of victory to the heavenly courts before his death, and he had declared to his Father, "I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." John 17, verse 4. After his resurrection, he had tarried on earth for a season. Next slide, please. The Desire of Ages, page 829. Continuing, that his disciples might become familiar with him in his risen and glorified body. Now he was ready for the leave taking. He had
authenticated.
The fact that he was a living Savior. His disciples need no longer associate him with the tomb. They could think of him as glorified before the heavenly universe. Desire of Ages, page 829, verse 1.
Paragraph 1. Continuing the reading, The Desire of Ages, page 829. As the place of his ascension, Jesus chose the spot so often hallowed by his presence while he dwells among men. Not Mount Zion, the place of David's city, not Mount Moriah, the temple site, was to be thus honored. There Christ had been mocked and rejected. There the waves of mercies still returning in a stronger tide of love had been beaten back by hearts as hard as rock. And continue on the next slide, and we will bubble down so that others can share and participate.
Thank you, Mom. It speaks and echoed the triumphant shouts of the multitude that proclaim him king. On its sloping descent, he had found a home with Lazarus at Bethany. In the Garden of Gethsemane, at its foot, he had prayed and agonized alone. From the mountain, he was to ascend to heaven. On this mountain, he was to ascend to heaven. Next slide, please.
Continuing, the Holy Shekinah, in departing from the first temple, had stood upon the eastern mountain, as if loath to forsake the chosen city. So Christ stood upon Olivet, with yearning heart overlooking Jerusalem. The groves and glens of the mountain had been consecrated by his prayers and tears. Next slide, please. Continuing. Upon its summit, his feet will rest when he shall come again, not as a man of sorrows, but as a glorious and triumphant king, he will stand upon Olivet. While Hebrew hallelujahs mingle with Gentile hosannas, and the voices of the redeemed as a mighty host shall swell the acclamation, crown him Lord of all. Desire of Ages, page 829. See that. Paragraph 2. Okay.
Continuing the reading.
Now, with the evil
11.
The 11 disciples, Jesus made his way toward the mountain. As they passed through the gate of Jerusalem, many wondering eyes looked upon the little company led by one woman whom a few weeks before the rulers had condemned and crucified the disciples. The disciples knew not that this was to be their last interview with their master. Next slide, please.
Continuing, Jesus spent the time in
conversation
with them, repeating his former instruction. As they approached
Gethsemane,
he paused that they might call to mind the lessons he had given them. On the night of his great agony, again he looked upon the vine by which he had then presented. Next slide, please.
And move up or down so someone could share.
Turn mine down. Turn it down, Jeremiah, so we can hear. Come here, Chrissy. Continuing.
The
union
of his
church
with his son and his father. Again, he repeated the truths he had
unfolded
all around him. There
were
love.
Reminders
of his
unrequited
love. Even the
disciples
who were the dear,
so dear
to his heart, had it been the hours of his
humiliation. Reproached
and
forsaken
him.
Desire of ages. Page 830, paragraph
1.
Jeremiah. This is longer.
Rice had.
Come closer so you can see.
Christ had sojourned in the world for 33 years. He had
endured
his
its
scorn. Insult.
Say it louder.
Insult. And monkey.
No. Mockery.
He had been rejected and
crucified.
Now and then, went about to
ascend
to his throne of glory as he reviews the
ingratitude
of the people he came to save. Will he not withdraw from them
will his
sympathy
and love will not his
affections
be
centered
upon that realm.
No.
Where he is
appreciated.
And where sins angel wait to do his
his
promise to those loved ones whom
he leaves
on earth is I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Matthew.
Someone's mic is on. Matthew. Chapter 28.
Verse 20.
Desire of Ages. Page
830.
Paragraph 2. Good job.
Good job. Good job, everyone. My little ones are getting older. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and way we have grown, dear ones? Welcome to all the precious family that I had just came in. And remember this scripture as we go through our review, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We will read all of the 6 questions, just in case anyone is not able to see the screen. And if you are able to share their ones, you could place it in the room or use your mic. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Second one is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? Number 6, what did you learn from this lesson? Who would like to take number 1, dear ones? May you use it.
The answer to number 1, who's the main characters, is Jesus and the Jerusalem and the disciples. The answer to number 2 is Christ's preparation to go to heaven.
For number 3, where did the story take place? Here we see that Jesus and his disciples were walking in preparation for his ascension to the Mount Olivet. They were walking towards the Gethsemane. Go ahead, Josh. We'll share.
The answer to question 4, when did the story begin? where it said that the time had come for Christ to ascend to his Father's throne. So begins that where Jesus preps for going to his Father's throne in heaven.
Number five, how could you relate to the story? So number five is, I can relate in that the Lord was preparing the disciples before he left, and he even took time to review everything that they had gone through, and even, you know, the very last moment to make sure that they remember the lessons and what they needed to go forward. And because he was going to leave them, he wanted to make sure that they were strong in this world in terms of the gospel and all the things that they will need to go forward without him. And so it's like that kind of for us in the sense that we are being prepared also to give this gospel and to look forward to everything that the Lord say in his word, the way of preparation. And also ultimately for him to come back and to take us hopefully, prayerfully to heaven.
What I can say that I learned from this lesson is that the Lord Jesus loves us so much and so tenderly that he really makes sure that we are reassured of his love no matter what, whether we see him or not in this time. In our hearts, we can see him very clearly, but the disciples were not going to see him after a while. But the Lord in his love and his loving kindness made sure that they were reassured. And I've learned that in this lesson that he does that for us every single day. As we kneel and pray, as we sing our songs of praise to him, he's reassuring us in our hearts that he will never leave us and never forsake us, no matter what. It does not matter. He loves us very dearly.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What I have been learning and seeing here, and also in my own personal life, the big lesson that I have gathered in this lesson, Jesus not only took them to the area where he was going to give them the assurance that he was going to be with them, even unto the very end, but he chose the place of his agony. By examining the story, and even if you sit down and examine things that happen in your life, those trials and those circumstances that was the hardest, the Lord draw from those same things to be able to bring you towards a lesson that will enrich your life afterwards. When the Lord took them to the place where he was going to continue instructing and leaving the comfort for them, they were able to examine all the areas during those years that he was with them. They was able to see, and as they have something physical, but at the same time as the Lord was sharing with them, they was able to grasp how much they were gathering during the time that the Lord was speaking to them. That is going to happen to our lives as well. At the time that we are going through it, we're not going to even understand why, but then the Lord even have those moments that he brings back those things. And try to let you know that it was necessary for it, and there was a great lesson that will enrich us personal and Christian walk. I just wanted to be able to share that. So whenever anything is happening that we may not understand, or we may not actually feel we don't have the strength to do so, it is for a bigger gift and a reward. I just wanted to share that this is what I observe in this particular chapter. Is anybody else want to share?
I'd also like to share something that was impressed upon my mind. The first Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, and the second Adam, which we know is Christ our Lord, was restored it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that is such a beautiful thing, that he surrendered himself and was restored there and chose there again for his ascension. It has been impressed in my mind since we read it last week about why he chose that particular place for his ascension. And I pray by God's grace that we will take some time to study it out because of the wonderful lesson that is in there. But that was impressed upon my heart about the first, the fall and the restoration.
Amen. Praise the Lord. While I'm sharing the slide, I just wanted to say last night I was even reading and I realized that something similar had happened when Moses took Aaron up to the mountain of Hor, which is H-O-R. As they were climbing, they got to see a lot of the experience that they had in the wilderness while they were journeying, because that's where he was supposed to be laid to sleep. And I noticed that even in the experience with Jesus and his disciple, is something that was repeated. It's amazing. Sharing thoughts and poems and special music. Our thought is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha in chapter 250. It's entitled Future Event Come in Order. And the reflection is taken from chapter 37, entitled The Scripture of a Safeguard. And our opening scripture is from 1 Thessalonians 5:4, King James Version. And it reads, "For ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief." Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? Maybe I'll mute your mic.
I saw that Jesus would not leave the most holy place until every case was decided either for salvation or destruction, and that the wrath of God could not come until Jesus had finished his work in the most holy place, laid off his priestly attire, and clothed himself with the garments of vengeance. Then Jesus will step out from between the Father and man, and God will keep silence no longer, but pour out his wrath on those who have rejected his truth.
I saw that the anger of the nations, the wrath of God, and the time to judge the dead were separate and distinct, one following the other. Also that Michael had not stood up, and that the time of trouble, such as never was, had not yet commenced. The nations are now getting angry, but when our high priest has finished his work in the sanctuary, he will stand up, put on the garments of vengeance, and then the seven last plagues will be poured out. From Maranatha, page 258, paragraph 2.
I saw that the four angels would hold the four winds until Jesus' work was done in the sanctuary, and then will come the seven last plagues. These plagues enraged the wicked against the righteous. They thought that we had brought the judgment of God upon them, and that if they could rid the earth of us, the plagues would then be stayed. A decree went forth to slay the saints, which caused them to cry day and night for deliverance. This was the time of Jacob's trouble. Then all the saints cried out with anguish of spirit and were delivered by the voice of the Maranatha, page 258, paragraph 3.
Before his crucifixion, the Savior explained to his disciples that he was to be put to death and rise again from the tomb. But the disciples were looking for temporal deliverance from the Roman yoke, and they could not tolerate the thought that he, even while their hope center, should suffer an ignominious death. So in the prophecies, the future is open before us, as plainly as it was open to the disciples by the words of Christ. The events connected with the close of probation and the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented, but multitudes have no more understanding of these important truths than if they had never been revealed. Maranatha, page 258, paragraph 4.
Reflection. Reflection. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. Those who endeavor to obey all the commandments of God will be opposed and derided. They can stand only in God. In order to endure the trial before them, they must understand the will of God as revealed in his word. They can honor him only as they have a right conception of his character, government, and purposes, and act in accordance with them. None but those who have fortified the mind with the truths of the Bible will stand through the last great conflict. To every soul will come the searching test. Shall I obey God rather than men? The decisive hour is even now at hand. Are our feet planted on the rock of God's immutable word? Are we prepared to stand firm in defense of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus? Great Controversy, page 593, paragraph 2.
Before his crucifixion. No, go ahead, sister.
Thank you, dear one. Before his crucifixion, the Savior explained to his disciples that he was to be put to death and rise to again from the tomb, and angels were present to impress his words on minds and hearts. But the disciples were looking for a proof or temporal deliverance from the Roman yoke, and they could not tolerate the thought in that he and all their hopes centered should suffer and ignominious death. The words which they needed to remember were banished from their minds. And when the time of trial came, it found them unprepared. The death of Jesus as fully destroyed their hopes, as if he had not forewarned them. So in the
prophecies,
the future is open as plenty before as us as plenty
plainly
was as it was open to the disciples by the word of Christ. The events connected with the close of probations and the word of the work of preparation for the time of trouble are clearly presented but
multitudes
have no more understanding of these important truths than if they had never been revealed. Satan watches to catch away every impression that would make them wise unto salvation and the truth of the time of trouble will find themselves unready. See G.C. the great controversy.
Controversy?
Controversy.
Controversy?
Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
593. Paragraph 3.
Amen. Good job.
When God sends to the men, two men, warning to so important that they are represented as proclaimed by holy angels flying in the midst of heaven. He requires every person endowed with reasoning powers to heed the message. The fearful judgment denounced against the worship of the beast and his image. Revelation 14:9-11 should lead all to a diligent study of the prophecies to learn what the mark of the beast is and how they are to avoid receiving it. But the masses of the people turn away their ears from hearing the truth and are turned to unto fables.
Amen. And we'll bubble down so someone else could share. Brother Joel, thank you so much for allowing them to go ahead of you.
The Apostle Paul declared, looking down to the last days, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3. That time has fully come. The multitudes do not want Bible truth because it interferes with the desires of the sinful world-loving heart, and Satan supplies the deception which they love. Great controversy. Page 594, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Reverend family. That was taken from chapter 37, entitled The Scripture, A Safeguard, pages 593-593, but paragraph 1. Just a minute. Our poem is entitled He First Loved Us. This is taken from Children Bible Activity Book, Year 3, Quarter 4, Lesson 2 of page 33 from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, come and obey the Savior's voice. Come now and make this happy choice. He will not turn your prayer aside. While you, in truth, in Him confide.
He left the realms of shining day and down to earth hasted away. He bore our griefs, He bled, He died. For us the Lord was crucified.
O matchless love, so great, so free, the love He bore for you and me. Shall not our hearts within us move, responsive to His tender love?
Oh yes, our hearts, though hard must feel, touched by His melting loving zeal. Our ransomed powers are all His own, we humbly bow before His throne.
O blessed Savior, make us Thine, our sins forgive, our thoughts refine. Make us reflect Thine image here, and save us when Thou shalt appear.
Then, in Thy kingdom all divine, we shall as stars forever shine, and share Thy joy and sing Thy praise, and this to everlasting days.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Faithful is he.
Amen. This was taken from Scripture Song Singer in this section, Peaceful Rest. This was 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. Well, dear ones, if there's any testimony that you would like to share, we can be able to still do it after the end of all our services. So we have come to the ending of our review section. So next week, we will continue with our second part of our last lesson. No, that's not it. Forgive me. We are going to be in the second part of our new chapter entitled To My Father and Your Father in our study book, The Desired Ages. If any one of the dear loved ones would like to be able to close our review meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for the rest that you provide on this day. We thank you to renew our minds and our bodies and our spirit, especially, Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that you elevate our minds and please help us to stay focused on you today. Please be with the little ones. We thank you for all their participation, and we thank you for the blessing of giving them the gift of to read and to be able to be advancing in that way. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Please be with their parents. Also give them the strength to continue to teach them and cheer them on. Be with us as we go to the next step of our studies today. Continue to bless us, Father, I pray. Provide for us the things that we need so that we can be able to rely on them during the week. Be with the speaker, I pray, Father Jesus. Please give him the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything that you have given to us, and save us and bring us back unto this Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, we will have our part two of our Chapter 87, entitled To My Father and Your Father, and that will be held September 27, 2025, and that will be a lesson 444. Leaving the scripture and also a small quote from the Ministry of Healing in page 103, paragraph 4. This is from chapter 6, Save to Serve. And the scripture is taken from Ezekiel 34:26. King James Version, and it reads, "And I will make them and the places round about my hills a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing." And from the quote, it says, "Those who receive are to impart to others. From every direction are coming calls for help. God calls upon men to minister gladly to their fellow men. Immortal crowns are to be won. The kingdom of heaven is to be gained, and the world perishing in ignorance is to be the enlightened." May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and may God bless. And the corrections on that ending part will be resent. God bless each and every one.